The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Here we go. So welcome. Welcome to Happy Hour. As always, it's nice to see you all. I think it's a wonderful thing that we get to come together and practice together and explore this topic of loving kindness. And I want to build on something that we talked about last Wednesday, so I guess 2 days ago. And I talked about the boundlessness of loving kindness practice, this idea that our loving kindness, our goodwill, can go out in all directions for all beings everywhere. And we practiced with that a little bit, and then we broke into small groups and talked about it. And then afterwards, with a little discussion, some people mentioned how it's a nice idea, this idea of loving kindness for all beings, but you know, it's not so easy. And especially if we feel like we've been harmed by individuals. And in this time with the social unrest, and we're kind of a real more focus on racism, and there's just, and we see things that are heartbreaking and hurtful, and it's hard for us to touch into this idea that there could be goodwill or loving kindness for everybody, even those who seem to be causing harm. And so out of that grew just a short little bit. Maybe some of you who were there didn't even notice, but we talked a little bit about, okay, well, what do we mean by loving kindness for all beings? What do we mean by goodwill? And maybe it's non-hostility. Maybe it's non-ill will, something like this. Maybe it's too ambitious to have this idea of goodwill for all beings. And we even kind of said, well, maybe we should just narrow it down to human beings. That's maybe even a little bit easier, a little bit more tangible. And then maybe we'll add to that. I think it was a few weeks ago. I don't remember the exact date. A number of weeks ago when I offered up this verse that's in the Dhammapada, which is a really popular book. I guess I'll call it a book in the early Buddhist literature in the suttas. This, the Dhammapada has probably been translated more than any other collection of passages, any other book in that from the Pali Canon, that is the passages, the literature, the scriptures from early Buddhism. And the verse is only three lines, and it goes like this. And maybe I'll say that I'm offering this is because it also introduces this idea of non-ill will, non-hatred. And that time we talked about this, but the verse goes like this. And this is translated by Gil Fronsdal, maybe I'll add. So the verse is, hatred never ends through hatred. By non-hate alone does it end. This is an ancient truth. I'll say it one more time. Hatred never ends through hatred. By non-hatred alone does it end. This is an ancient truth. Yeah, for me, that's really powerful, this idea, the power, again, pointing to non-hatred, but here as an antidote or as a way to meet hatred. And then maybe a third element that's influencing me and that I'll kind of like throw in the mix today is part of the introduction is yesterday morning, Gil Fronsdal gave a Dharma talk on non-hatred. And part of something that he introduced was this new idea that, it's not necessarily a new idea, but the, maybe the way that he introduced it or some of the phrases is something I'd like for us to explore together today. Again, this idea of non-hatred, but he, not necessarily directly, but Gil posed the question, what do we have confidence in? What do we believe is a way forward for us? As individuals, as a society, what do we think, or whether it's explicit or implicit, what do we think or have ideas about or believe in or have an intuitive sense about is the way for greater peace, greater ease, greater happiness? Do we have confidence in non-hatred? And I like this word non-hatred because it can be really wide. It doesn't have to mean goodwill. It doesn't have to mean love. It's just not hatred. And right now I'd like to leave it vague, what it means. We can maybe in a subsequent happy hour unpack this, all the different ways. But one thing nice about leaving it vague is that all of us can find our own definitions, what it means for us, the non-hatred. And instead of thinking that it's some sappy, wimpy thing, just putting non in front of hatred, assuming that it's not some sappy thing. But do we have confidence in non-hatred? Do we have some belief that there can be some value in this? That it can be a support, it can be a foundation, it can be a root for something that is powerful and onward leading and fruitful, helpful? Gail, in his little Dharma talk, he pointed out that some of the reasons why people might hate or And hate again is a really strong word. And for now, I'd like to open it up to have a really broad meaning. It doesn't have to be necessarily hate, but something, you know, hostility, ill will, that family of responses. Gil pointed out that one of the reasons why people hate is because they feel helpless, because they feel hopeless. And they don't have confidence that anything else will work. And so when we feel hatred, there can be a sense of self-righteousness, which is maybe a little bit, it's more empowering than the disempowering feeling of helplessness or hopelessness we might feel. So this evening, I'd like us to explore the idea, what would it take or what might the experience be to have confidence in non-hatred? What would it be like if we believed or have an intuitive sense that the opposite of hatred can lead to ease and peace and happiness? Sense of well-being, that the opposite of hatred, or maybe it doesn't have to be the exact opposite, but non-hatred is a way forward. And not so much that this is a belief that we have to adopt and take on, not so much that we have to think our way into and rationalize our way into, even though these things might be helpful and supportive, but what can we do so that we have a knowing or experiences that lean towards a knowing, even if we're not quite convinced yet, but something that can support us to have some confidence in non-hatred? So I'd like for us to explore this evening. And of course, loving kindness practice is a way in which we can tap into some feelings of goodwill and kindness, and love, care, and respect for others. And for those of you who have been practicing regularly, or even if you haven't been practicing regularly, you might notice that after you do some loving kindness practice, your mind state is a little bit different, and there might be perhaps some softening or some warmth or some sense of like, oh, okay, this feels less stuck. More of a sense of, I don't know, perhaps, I don't know exactly what to do next, but I don't feel stuck. I don't feel like I'm only spinning my wheels. Instead, I feel like there's a sense of possibility, a sense of potential for something different, something new, even if at this moment I don't quite know what that is. And then from this place, this non-stuckness, the door is open for us to find our way. To find our way with dealing with the grief, the confusion, the anger, maybe a sense of hopelessness, helplessness, but not to get stuck in a sense of hatred or ill will or hostility. So this idea of having confidence in non-hatred. And again, confidence is one of those vague words, and I'll leave that open for you to interpret for yourself. Maybe it just means giving it a consideration, giving it a benefit of the doubt, or maybe it means all the way to confidence being a spectrum. Maybe it means all the way to, yes, I know, I have conviction that non-hate is the way forward. It doesn't have to be one way. There's a big spectrum there. Okay, so with that as an introduction, we can do a guided meditation here. We will begin by just feeling into the breath. Maybe a little, I hadn't thought of this until now, but one advantage of our practicing in our own little spaces is that we can do a little sigh out loud and our fellow meditators won't hear. So maybe there is a little, yeah, here, I'm here now. Allowing the body to have some uprightness that expresses your intention of practicing for the next little while. Without too much stiffness, without too much, I don't know, maybe stuck or so, with some ease and flexibility and uprightness both. And to help support a sense of well-being, and just check in with our bodies. An obvious place where we might feel some sensations is the pressure of the chair or the cushion. Against our bodies, and recognize that we're supported. The gravity is holding us down, and yet we're sitting upright, or if you're lying down, that you're not falling through the floor. Allow yourself to feel that support. And just noticing if there are some obvious ways of, obvious places of tension tightness. And see if there are simple, uncomplicated ways in which bringing your awareness to those different areas might support some easing or softening of that tension. It might be that simply bringing some warm-hearted attention. I think this is part of the key, is some gentle, kind attention to those areas of tension, tightness. Can really provide the conditions in which there might be a little bit of relaxation or letting go. It might work, it might not work. I mean, there might be a shift. But can you be okay if there isn't a shift to more ease? And then bringing our attention to the sensations of breathing, the movement of the abdomen or the chest, or maybe the feeling of air going in and out of the nose. And for now, just going to bring our attention to those sensations, the ones associated with breathing. If you find yourself lost in thought, just very simply, gently begin again. Doesn't have to be a problem. No need to chastise yourself or add any extra commentary. You just begin again. Of course, we're going to be lost in thought. Chances are we've been thinking all day and there's a certain momentum behind it. So we just bring our attention back to the sensations of breathing. And then to begin our loving kindness practice, bring to mind a lovable being, someone for whom it's easy to feel warm-hearted, care, respect, kindness, goodwill, love. if no one comes to mind immediately, some people, or even if somebody does come to mind immediately, some people like to use imaginary puppies, babies, kittens. Some people like to use a benefactor, somebody who has made a difference, supported us in our life. Whomever it might be, should have an uncomplicated relationship with this being. And then to support the cultivation, the development of loving kindness, while having this lovable being in mind, can repeat these phrases in our minds. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Might have to refresh the image of the lovable being. But can you feel into the experience of goodwill? I mean, maybe appreciation or warm-heartedness for this being. It might be that there's a warm sensation in the chest and the heart center. Maybe there's a little sense of spaciousness or ease somehow that's not quite clear. Maybe there isn't any particular sensation. But if there is, can you allow it to support you? Support the cultivation of goodwill, warm-heartedness, loving-kindness. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Can you allow yourself to really feel, not so much think about, but feel, sense, experience, any sense of warm-heartedness that is being cultivated, developed? We might linger here for a little bit with loving kindness for the lovable being, just to give us an opportunity to really feel into this non-hatred that we have for the lovable being. Right now, there's nothing else to do, nowhere else to be. We're just here, practicing loving kindness. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. So now we can fold loving kindness for ourselves into the mix. We can bring a image of yourself or perhaps the felt sense of what it's like to sit here right now. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Can we expand some of this goodwill for ourselves? Just including ourselves in this experience of loving kindness. Letting any voice of any inner critic just go by the wayside. We don't have to pay attention to it. We're not suppressing it or making it go away. We're just taking away any authority it might seem like it has. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Now, what might it be like, feel like, to let go of specific objects of our loving kindness, the lovable being or the self, and just rest in the experience of metta, however we might experience it? Might be physical sensations, might be certain tone or attitude or mood in the mind or in the heart in some kind of way. Can we just rest in the experience of metta, loving kindness, goodwill, without specific objects? Specific people, without specific people. Can we be supported? Can we be nurtured by this experience? What would it take to have confidence, to believe in, to have some kind of understanding that the experience of goodwill is a way forward, provides a foundation for not being stuck, not being lost in things that are not helpful? And if it's the case that you're not feeling goodwill or loving kindness right now, that's okay too. What might it be like to have confidence in the potential, the perspective of feeling loving kindness or goodwill, metta? Your intention to have goodwill. What would it take to have confidence, believe in this experience? And then to end this meditation, feel your feet on the ground. Feel the pressure of the chair or the cushion against your body. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. This exploration of the idea to have the faith, maybe I haven't used that word yet, but maybe to have faith that to come from a place of goodwill, to use goodwill, to have some confidence that that can help us as opposed to ill will, hatred. Including any ill will we might have for ourselves, or for others, or situation, whatever it might be. So it can be really supportive to help kind of integrate these experiences and our understandings of them, to spend a little time to reflect on them and putting words around them. We can do this with and so discussing with others, with some of the people who have just meditated also, and can share this space and talk about what your ideas about this or your experience. So I'd like to put you into small groups. There'll just be a few people, and you can talk about either the idea of to have confidence in non-hatred, or your experience of what was that like to drop in that idea of non-hatred and to feel maybe supported or nurtured by it, or whatever your experience was with that guided meditation. So I'm going to say that the person with the least amount of letters in their screen name goes first. And the person with the most letters in their screen name goes last in these small groups. And then we'll just have a few minutes. We'll have 11 minutes to do this. And I guess we'll have 12 minutes. I'll make it 11 minutes. 11 minutes, and then we'll come back here. So, one. So welcome back. Would anybody like to share what that was like, that small group discussion or this exploration of confidence and non-hatred? I see some of you are smiling. That's a good sign. Nobody wants to speak? Abraham, yes.
Hi. I took it upon myself to not just explore my interior landscape in terms of confidence, but also how I felt about society right now. And I just found it useful to look at both of those. You know, there's reasons to feel confident inside myself with my practice. And I also feel that there's reason to feel confident in what's going on in society. And so I just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah. Confidence and all kinds of things. Thank you, Abraham. Anybody else? Go ahead, Felipe.
Oh, sorry. Oh, wrong click. Okay. But anyway, I just wanted to say I'm grateful that, I mean, I'm happy that Abraham is preparing to be Santa Claus at the end of the year. I might follow that same beard in the future. Thank you for reminding me.
And Michael, I see you have your hand up.
Yeah, when I think of confidence, I think of my neurological pathways in my brain in the meta orientation being fairly grounded. And just, you know, the more I practice, I've been practicing meta for so long that I feel like it's kind of ingrained. So I don't even go toward hatred toward people who have done things that I might hate. And I can genuinely wish everyone well. And I mean, I send metta to everyone when I'm bicycling. And even when I see people on their mobile phones, not watching where they're going on their, in their cars, I send them metta, may you be well, may you be peaceful. Because it's not constructive for my being to be channeling hatred. It's much more constructive going to neutrality or love. So deep bows to you all. Thank you for letting me share.
Yeah, thank you, Michael. Pointing out the disadvantages of not having non-hatred, like that's so many negatives in one sentence, but I think maybe you, the disadvantages of having hatred, the disadvantages of doing the alternative. Yeah. Okay, so thank you all. Thank you for your practice. It's my sincere belief that by our continuing to explore and practice with loving kindness and all its richness in so many different ways, there's it's just unfathomably rich in my view. This is a way in which we can make a difference, not only in our lives, of course, but in the world. So with our practice, may all beings find love or well-being or safety, health, and happiness. Thank you. And I'll unmute us all so that if you'd like, you can say goodbye and good night. So goodbye.
Diana. Thank you.
Thank you, Diana.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.